invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 as we continue this series. When my dad was here, he's a car guy. I'm not necessarily. I know how to drive them. I like to drive them. Some are cooler than others. But I found out there was going to be a car show in Baker. Now, it was also the first opening weekend for bow season, among others. And so I was like, well, Dad, I don't know how many cars will be here. A lot of the guys that own the cars will be possibly hunting. But we'll go check it out. And so he said, okay, let's go for it. And we pulled up, and I said, well, there's more activity than I anticipated because there's lined cars down the street. And I walked in, and I was amazed. Tons of beautiful vehicles. Just the park is lined. And my dad was like, wow, this is an incredible setting for a car show. Just beautiful day, awesome cars everywhere, and I'm standing around, and it's one thing to see a car, and you know, they had some newer ones that were there, some people brought their cars, and it's like, it's nice to see that vet, you know it's worth a lot, but it just kind of came off the floor show, you know, show floor right there, or out of the factory, and it's cool, but it's another thing to know and to see a car that was not so much. At one point, yeah, it was new and it was shiny, but has gotten to the point where you see the pictures of what it used to be. To see those pictures of, you know, they usually have the album out in front that some of them had there, that this thing was out in the middle of a field rusting out. And pretty much written off until someone saw that sight. And they said, it can be more than what it is. And they took the tender care and they took the work. And, you know, especially if they didn't just have it shipped off to someone to do the work. But they put their love, sweat, tears, frustrations, and all of that into this beauty of this car that is now before us. The reason I say that is that fully restored work is a transformative work. And I think many in our world feel at times like they are the car rusting out in the field. They're out of date, of no use. They're a little beauty compared to this fully restored version that is highlighted and fully on display. I mean, maybe you felt rejected at some point. Maybe you didn't achieve what you wanted to do in life at this point, and you thought you would be more along, and you didn't, and you wake up one day, and you kind of have one of those moments. Maybe it's a Monday morning, or it's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, or I don't know, but you just feel inadequate. I mean, and you have this thought of, there must be something wrong with me. And if you've ever felt that way, you likely want someone to come along and say, here, have some coffee, and it's okay. You know, you want someone to encourage you and say, well, you know, it's not really as bad as you think. But this morning, you know, while you may want me to tell you that you're better than most, I'm going to start by telling you that if you're living without Christ, there's something wrong with you. Amen. I'm just going to put it out there. In fact, in our text today in Ephesians 2, Paul is pretty direct. He states that without Christ, there are three things wrong with you. First of all, you're sinful. Secondly, you're spiritually dead. And third, you're the object of God's wrath. But he doesn't leave it there. In fact, he says this in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10, says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, in August, at the end of that series that we were going through, we talked about the fact that being in God's will is not so much where you are as it is about who you are becoming. And last week, we kind of took that thought and started it a little bit farther as we stated that when you know who you are, you will know what to do. And so this month, we're kind of focusing in on the scriptures that tell us about who we are. And so last week we established that if you were a Christian, if you were a follower of Christ, if you are someone who has put and continues to put their faith, their life, their belief system in Jesus, then you are by de facto, you are by nature at that point, an ambassador of Christ. That your work is now called to bear the message of God's reconciliation among the world. So verses 8 through 10 today, they continue to tell us that God has saved us and continues to save you. I could go into all these tenses, and I was horrible at the Greek that way. I'm glad other people are much better at it than I am. But it was this word that doesn't mean you were just once saved and it's done. It's this word that you were saved, you are saved, and you will continue to be saved as long as you put your faith in Christ. Amen. And so he says you can't take credit for it. It's by God's grace that you are being saved. It's a gift. All you can do is accept that gift and impart it and let God's love and grace continually to flow through and over you. But that you are also not saved by the good things you do, but we are saved to do good things in the name of the one who saved us. Amen. So verse 10 tells us that we, individually and corporately, are God's workmanship, saved out of death, saved out of the path of God's wrath, have been reconstructed, restored, and put back into working action. My dad said the worst thing you can do with a fully restored car is just stick it in a garage and not drive it. Cars are meant to be drive. You are meant to work in God's name, to be out there. And as a result, we get to participate in God's restoration project of this world to bring glory back to God. Amen. You've been made new. You've been totally remade. You are a masterpiece of God's handiwork. Amen. Remember, new creations have a new purpose. You are not just a masterpiece by some random artist, you know, some abstract thing that goes up on the wall where people can walk by and go, oh, that's nice. No, you are the masterpiece of God, created for the master's purpose, and God wants you to believe this with all that you are, because it's this transformative, because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do, and you are God's masterpiece. Amen. So three thoughts this morning as we look at this. As God's masterpiece, you're created for the master's purpose. As God's masterpiece, you exist to bring glory to Him. Yeah. Psalm 139, as Ray read, tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Many in our world, unfortunately, believe, and unfortunately, this includes a lot of Christians. They choose to instead live into the brokenness rather than the restoration. They tend to get stuck in not understanding this truth that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who has created them, loves them, and has given them a purpose. Instead, they live into the once broken, always broken mentality. But the reality is, like the old bumper sticker states, God don't make no junk. Pardon the grammar. But God doesn't make junk. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the name of Jesus Christ. You have been fully restored if you believe in what Jesus has done. And so as a result, if we believe in the brokenness and not in the restoration, we don't understand our purpose. And when you don't understand the purpose of a thing, all you can do is abuse the thing. And if you don't know the purpose of your life, all you do is end up abusing your life. Because life without purpose reduces everything down to an experiment. And that's the way most people, unfortunately, live their life, as an experiment. You know, maybe, well, this job will make me feel fulfilled, and maybe it'll be this person, and, well, she didn't do it, and so maybe she will, and this might be right, and, you know, this thing might, and this accomplishment could, and on we go in this experimenting process because you don't know the purpose of your life. But here's the deal. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you don't ask the thing. No, you ask the person that created it. And you are the masterpiece of God. You seek God and ask Him. The big picture is this. You don't exist to accumulate more things. You exist to bring glory to God. And we all do this in specific ways. As God's masterpiece, you were created for the master's purpose, and you are this masterpiece made anew in Christ Jesus to do good things which the master has prepared for you to do. Amen. But not only that, as God's masterpiece, you have everything you need to do, everything that God wants you to do. Amen. Say that three times fast. You have everything that you need to do, everything that God has asked you and wants you to do. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. For example, when God called Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, Moses didn't believe he was good enough. He said, well, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not good enough to get this done. Surely, God, there's somebody else. And let me tell you, God didn't do this. Go, oh, wait, you're right. Sorry, wrong guy. He didn't do that. God, because when God calls you, He gives you everything you need to do. Yes, He partnered Aaron alongside Him to give Him, but Moses was still the man. Moses was still the one called. Because everything he gives you everything you need to do, everything that He wants you to do, because your part is all about being obedient. The problem is that most people have masterpiece envy. They look at other people and will say, well, I'm not like them. I could never do that. I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I wish I had. And when they look at, the problem is when we look at all these other people and what they have instead of who God has made us to be, we don't realize that God has created us to do good work. And they don't ever realize what they can do. Because God has given you everything you need to do everything that God has you to do. Let's be real honest. There are a lot of things in this world that I cannot do. Kim, you don't need to say amen here. There are a lot of things that you can do that I can't. For example, you will not find me up here playing guitar, putting it down, picking up a different guitar, and then putting that down and coming over and picking up a violin. It's just not going to happen. I could pick them up, yeah, I do that. It's just, you wouldn't like what comes out of it when that happens. You know, I'm not personally good at drawing or painting. Kaylee is that person. I pretty much do stick figures. I'm not good at fixing things. You know, things break and I can kind of try. And that's thank God for YouTube when things break. But my best thing is really to call someone like Eugene. Or someone like Glenn. He's probably tired. I do not like plumbing. I like it. I just don't like to repair it, I guess I should say. But I'm much better at calling people who knew and are gifted at what they do. But here's what you need to know. If all I do is focus on what I can't do, I will fail to see what I can do every time. Because I am a masterpiece of God, created for the master's purpose. Don't approach everything with the attitude of, I don't have it, I'm not. Instead, look at who God has created you to be. And realize that you are the masterpiece of God, created to do what you should be doing. Not what somebody else should be doing. Amen. You've been made new. All the old things are gone. You're a new creation in Christ, and new creations have new purposes. You have everything that you need to do what God has called you to do, and when you know who you are, you'll know what to do because you are a masterpiece of God. And as God's masterpiece, God can use everything in your life to bring about His purposes. Remember this, He is the potter, you are the clay. He is the potter, you are the clay. And He is continuing, as long as you are obedient and you submit your life, He will continue to shape and form you into this masterpiece to serve His purposes. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose." Now, a few questions within that statement as you look at that verse and think about that verse. Does all things include the good things? Yes. Does all things include the bad things? Yes. Does all things include the things that you're thankful that happened? Yes. But also, does all things include the things that you wish would have never happened? Yes. Look at it this way. When you realize that He is the potter and that you are the clay, you can then come to the point where you surrender all of your life to allow God to mold it toward His glory and His purpose. Amen. That should give us a lot of confidence to step into where God is leading. One of the great stories of the Old Testament is the story of Joseph, who believed he was God's masterpiece. He was a little bit of a braggart because he was the youngest kid. in that. He was special. He knew it. But he understood that he was going to be a leader one day, and he shares this dream, and his brothers, being older brothers, stick him in a hole. They thought about killing him, but they just said, "No, we'll make some money out of him," and they sell him off. And I mean, think about it. Do you ever think Joseph said, "Oh, this is what I wanted, slavery"? No. He submitted his attitude and his response to the potter. Amen. To shape him into this masterpiece. And so he was so talented and, more importantly, faithful to God that Potiphar, the owner, took note and he promoted him. And then one day, because he's this promoted young man and he's got all this power, all of a sudden Potiphar's wife looks at him and says, "Ooh, I like that," and tries to seduce him. And because of his integrity, he rebuffs it and says no and runs off. And so she falsely accuses him and he gets thrown into prison. And at that point, he doesn't say, "Ooh, slavery wasn't good enough, prison's even better." He doesn't say that, but he does submit his attitude and his response to the potter as God continues to shape the clay. And through all these weird, unusual events, he interprets dreams, and he becomes promoted to the second in charge. The only one that's higher than him in all of Egypt is Pharaoh himself. Years later, his brothers come. And they don't realize who he is, and yet he realizes, and this back and forth, cool story stuff, and they come and they realize when he's alive and who he is, they're like, "We're as good as dead. There's no way after we did to him what we did that he's going to let us live." And yet he says, "You don't understand. I'm your brother. I love you guys. We're family. I forgive you because what you meant for evil, God used for good." His response is that God took all this and he shapes me, and I wouldn't be here in this part if not through my own faithfulness of obedience, but more importantly, what God is doing through all of this. And some of us this morning, we're going through stuff in our life. And we're thinking, "I wish this wouldn't happen. It's too painful. And I don't understand. And yes, I wish it were different." But understand this. If you are in Christ, if you love Him, if you live into His purposes for your life and because of what He has done and continues to do, it says that He will work all things to bring about good. Now, I want you to understand, I am not telling you to interpret it this way. I am not saying that God is sending you through those hard times. I am not saying that God is trying to punish you. What I am saying is that God can take, when we submit these things to God, when we submit ourselves in the midst of the circumstances, when we take all those things and we place them at God's feet, and we say, "God, I don't know why this is going on, or maybe I do, but I submit them to you," that God can bring those and take those things and mold them, and more importantly, you, for His purposes as we submit them. Amen. I mean, I pray with everything that is in me this morning that you would know who you are. Because in Christ, you are the masterpiece of God. Some of you right now, you're looking at your life and you're saying, "I've got nothing going for me. All I am is a big mush of dried out clay." Yeah, it's abstract art. Not a whole lot of use in that. Some of you are saying, "But I don't like myself. It's got all these lumps, and it's not really useful, and it's kind of breaking apart, and I don't like what I've become." Got some great news for you. If you don't like who you are, submit your life to God and let Him do the molding. Let him remake you. Remember, he is the potter. You are the clay. Submit your will and your obedience to God and let him be who he is, because he is the potter. Your job is not to form that. Your job is to be formed, to submit. It's to submit your will and your obedience to God and let him work out who he is, because he is the potter. Philippians 2 says this, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, one of the problems that we have in our culture and in our life is that we forget that God is the potter. We forget that we're the clay. And we try instead to flip that around. We try to be the potter that forms God into who we need him to be. But as we submit our lives, which includes our will and our obedience to the potter through his righteousness, not our righteousness, he molds us into this masterpiece that is created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for us to do. This is what Jeremiah 18:3 says. It says, I went down to the potter's house and found him working at his wheel. Now and then there would be something wrong with the pot he was molding from the clay with his hands. So he would rework the clay into another kind of pot as he saw fit. You see, the phrase that there would be something wrong unfortunately describes many people's lives. Maybe you say, oh, I had a dream to be such and such in a place in my life at this point. But something went wrong with my dream. Maybe it's, oh, I hope to be financially at this place, but something went wrong with my hopes. Maybe it's I thought I'd be married, and but something went wrong with my plan. Or as I look at my life, I know that God has all these things intended for me, but something went wrong along the way. So what do we do when we realize something went wrong? We let God remake our lives. To take it from there, to take it from that spot. He is the potter, you are the clay, and that's the good news. God can use the same clay that had issues to remake it into what God needed it to be and wants it to be. If you don't like your life, let God remake it. Through Christ, you can be the masterpiece created for the master's purpose. So this morning, before we pray to dismiss, I want to just put this out there. For some, we are in here, maybe you believe that God has done a thing in your life at some point. I mean, and you've kind of just left it there. You haven't continued to work that out, to submit your life. Maybe now is the time to lay that on the altar. Maybe plans haven't gone as you would hope them to plan to have gone. That was a weird sentence. Maybe they haven't. Often they won't. Remember, life is not fair. Be thankful for that. But what are you doing with your life now? If it hasn't gone as you had hoped, that's the past. Now is toward the future. Submit your life. Submitting your life is as simple as ABC. It's admitting that you are a sinner. Admitting that you have kind of gone away from the purposes of God's calling on your life, that you've broken that relationship. It's believing that Christ died for you. That Jesus came, lived a perfect life, showed us all of what God has for us, and took upon our punishment. Remember, we were objects of wrath. That he took that punishment. And then confessing in belief of what Christ has already done, confessing those sins and leaving them. The problem is most people tend to pick up those and put them in their back pocket because we think that because we were broken that we have to remain broken. But God says in his word that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen. Some of us, we've been living into the in-between stage instead of the fully restored stage. And God in his holiness is doing a new work in us. Amen. Some of us are just kind of biding time in the garage. We've been restored, but we're not living it. We all have been called to be who we are in Christ, in his way, in his will. Amen. Would you be willing to submit to the grand potter, to the great potter, and allow your life to be continued to be molded, that God would do something in your life that maybe more than you could ever dream or imagine? I can tell you, I wouldn't have ever thought I'd be here at this point in my life. I'm immensely blessed. Not because of anything that I've done, other than just trying to be in submission to the Father. If you'd be one of those that would like to allow God that process to submit your life in any of those ways, I'd encourage you as we come to pray, make a decision in your life, whether it's in the pew, but you know, sometimes the best thing we can do is be held accountable by showing that, you know what, I'm going to lay myself at the altar of God. And so I want to encourage you, if that would be the case for you, feel free to come and kneel before a God that loves you so much. Heavenly Father, in humility, we come before you. And God, I don't know all that's going on in people's lives, but I do know the history of my own brokenness. That God, you are continuing to transform me. And for that, I'm thankful. God, you are the potter and I am the clay. You've made all the ways needed for me to have that restored life. And God, as we stand here and we seek you this morning, if there be anyone here that needs to accept the fact that you've done everything that's needed to be done, may they simply believe. God, from there, you don't leave us. You continue to work out your will and your way in our lives. May we be found obedient. That God, we have something that you need us to do if we'd be found obedient. Some gifting, some talent, some strength, some attitude in a place of service within our community, within our church, within our home. May we submit all those things to you and be found obedient in all things. For we are not rubbish. We are your masterpiece. And God, to you we submit our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.